the need. All the day jobs, show the world we're small. Tune the frequency to answer the call. Indeed, 12 minutes past 10 o'clock on the Dave Charles Show, brought to you proudly by Bidvest McCarthy Toyota Balito. Now, as promised, I'm going to be in conversation with Donovan Rash, who is the man behind the music on the North Coast. And I say this not from a performance perspective, although maybe you do play, Donovan, I don't know. But certainly you supply instruments and accessories for instruments to a huge plethora of folk. And you have a store in Balito. We're going to find out all about what the Musician's Gear Zone story is all about and who Donovan Rash is. I think we should start there. Tell us about you. Where did you grow up? Where were your influences?
Well, I grew up out in Reservoir Hills, the Westville area in Durban. I think my biggest influence has always been my dad. Being in the music industry himself.
His name was Eli or Ellie.
That's it, yes. Eli Rush.
Eli.
Yeah. And he started back in the early 70s in the music industry, about 2 or 3 years before I was born. Yeah, and you know.
And they built a huge business, Eli and partners.
Well, actually, it started with a Mr. Tredelius, who actually escaped during World War II from Nazi-occupied Germany. Interesting story. He bumped into Hitler, as a little boy. And he just thought he was this young German boy. And he basically got on a ship because his parents were taken away to the gas chambers.
Wow.
And he got on a ship, came to South Africa, and built this business from scratch without a penny in his pocket.
I love stories like that. It just goes to show that, this human spirit can endure to the point of almost unbelievable fortitude.
Incredible.
And if you persist, and it's never easy. You know, people that think that, oh, look at that, marvelous business, easy, he came and just set it up. No. Most big success stories start with genuine hard work and endeavor from people that are committed and prepared to, and it's an awful sacrifice often.
It is. It's incredible. Mm. And he established the business we are in now in 1950. So we're actually the oldest music company in South Africa.
That's the Tredelius Group.
Yes, it is, yeah.
And the Tredelius Group, for those that are not aware, you have agencies for various brands of instruments that you bring in from overseas and you supply to the rest of South Africa.
Yes.
It's that size operation.
Yes, yes. That's going back a long way now. We do Pearl drums. We do Washburn guitars. We do Kurzweil keyboards. It's just a variety across all product lines in music.
It must be very interesting to keep up with the trends and the technology that changes all the time. Because I'm sure you've noticed, a bit like the motor industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the day, you had good cars and you had not such good cars. You know, it was just known that that brand is better. But nowadays, I don't think there's a bad car on the road.
No,
they all vary, but generally speaking, the technology level has created a situation where you just don't see cars broken down on the side of the road anymore.
Yeah.
And I think the same applies with instruments, the technology of building instruments. I mean, back in the day, you could buy a guitar that was unplayable.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people did because they were cheap, because your kid wants to play, and I'll just get you a guitar. I mean, rubbish. That's about the worst thing you can do, isn't it?
No, and these days, you know, the old stigma of where the product comes from is it's a bit diluted now. You can get great products from anywhere in the world now, really. Some of the Chinese guitars are some of the best guitars I've ever seen. They're amazing. So it's the technology has improved, the manufacturing process has improved, the finishing of the products have improved dramatically. I think you see that in cars as well. Initially, when you had all these unusual brands coming in, people looked at the finishing. They looked at alignment of the doors. And if you go back, and now they're immaculate.
The age of robotics, you know, just doesn't allow a squiff frame to leave the factory. But getting back to that point about your child wants to learn an instrument, so we'll get you a starter instrument. You know, we'll just pay you the worst one we can find because it's cheap. And you're not going to do anything with it. I think that's so sad because surely you should rather try and get the... Well, what is your philosophy?
Well, It's a tough one. I mean, sometimes it comes down to just economics. You know, if you want to get started and you can't afford, and then you're just aiming for the highest point, and the child is losing out, you know, 2-3 years, especially when they're really young. And we have students now that start off like 3 years old, and they're amazing. And they absorb so quickly. So some parents will say, okay, you know what, I'd rather wait and buy a better instrument when they, you know, when they've studied a bit more, etc. And you're losing that practical element with the kid. Yeah. So sometimes it is better, as long as you have something that they can hold and touch and play. Like if it's drums, you know, get something in percussion. You know, get a little bongo or a little mini conga, stuff like that. And guitars, even cheap guitars, they can carry you a long way.
But that's another interesting thing. If you have a resource you can trust, like you, you will be able to identify, okay, so your budget is pretty limited. Mm. But for that kind of money, what I can do for you is this, that,
exactly.
Next thing.
That's what we do for customers.
And that's so important, because so many kids are put off playing an instrument because they get a guitar with an action that is almost unplayable. It hurts to press those strings. It sounds terrible. You can't tune it. It's just a dog. So, you know, I don't want to play that. Throw it away. The same must apply to just about every instrument you can think
of. Everything. Whether it's even digital keyboards. I mean, you know, when you buy really cheap ones, I mean, you could learn your chord progressions and all of that easily on any keyboard, right? The actual tone of the keyboard is very important. You want something that sounds as close to a piano as possible. Unless you're just interested in synthesizers and so on. But we always recommend, you know, listen with your ear. Music is not about just the listening. It's about the feel. You have to feel and listen at the same time.
And with the keyboard, there's a certain weight to the key. You know, there's a sensitivity to that. Because really cheap keyboards, there's no pressure
there at all.
But piano has an action.
Yes. Ooh. And, you know, when you're doing higher grade exams, you know, especially if you're going through high school and you're doing it all the way to matric and so on, you actually need that part of it is essential. You won't pass unless you have an actual piano. You know, your practice at home, the skills that have to translate to that exam stage where you're going to use an acoustic piano. And if you're coming there learning on a really basic keyboard.
On a Casio tone.
Yep, it's not going to work.
I want to find out a bit more about you, because you've got a very interesting story. You weren't always in the music industry, and there's a story to come, but we'll get onto that on the flip side of this. 23 and a half minutes past 8 o'clock. There was Taylor Swift and a tune called Delicate. And we're back in conversation with Donovan Rash. He is the man behind the music. In Belito, there is a store called Musicians Gear Zone. Very proudly Belito, very proudly North Coast. But behind that brand is a massive machine called Tradelius. And that is the organization that brings in tons of musical equipment to the country, distributes it throughout the country. And Donovan is the man now really sitting on top of that organization. Huge responsibility. Must be exciting. But I believe you started life in a completely different profession.
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
Well, I studied medicine.
Yeah.
Essentially, I graduated, did my internship and all of that. And I was doing my licensing at Natal University. And a couple of months later, after I had gotten back, my brother actually passed away.
Oh.
And he was a major part of the business. It was just him and my dad, my mom, obviously. And so I stepped in because it was obviously so traumatic and for all of us. And my parents really went through a bad patch. And been there ever since. That's 2004. It's 2026.
And do you ever diagnose some of your customers coming through?
You've got
to take this and that.
I still like to help people. If I notice anything, I will speak to them and give them, you know, unsolicited advice. But
And do you mix with the medical fraternity, or are you completely now absorbed in the world of music?
Not really, no. It's just all music for me now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to study medicine and you pretty much are a doctor.
Yes.
Do you carry the title Dr. Rash?
Well, I
I'll give you. Can you write scripts?
Unfortunately, not anymore.
Because that would have been quite useful.
Very useful.
Getting back to the music, it must have been a huge transformation from the world of science and academia and medicine to the world of music. I mean, what did you know about the music industry?
Well, growing up, I was always involved in music. My dad has been in the business, you know, from before I was born. So I knew a lot about it. I did work in the stores during university. So in on the sales side of it, on the admin side of it, I had experience.
Okay. You know. That would help a lot. And the contacts had already been established internationally, so really was a question of picking up where possibly things had been left off.
Yes, that was a bit of a tough one. You know, people form bonds of trust with companies over a period of time.
Yeah.
So seeing a new face can, you know, take a bit of time. But obviously, my father was there with me at the time, you know. So, you know, I sort of was a little bit in the background. And we sort of just got to know everybody and, you know, made up relationships as we go.
It's very much a relationship business.
It is,
The good stores and the good music outlets.
Yeah.
It's not just a question of counter sales. Someone comes in and I want
exactly
this. You go, well, there it is, bang.
Yeah.
Do you find that you... over the years have made friends in the industry?
Yes. Oh, we've made tons of friends, really. I mean, it's an amazing industry. There's a lot of competition, and there's a lot of competition between musicians, as I'm sure you know.
Wow.
Dave. It's a crazy world.
It's funny that. John Ellis used to say, when did it become sort of a combative arena?
And that's the word, combative.
You've got to be, you know, the best, and these guys are rubbish, and those people are... And it's why? How is that going to help your
career? It doesn't
career?
Help anybody. We try to bring people together. It's always been the case. And, you know, the standard of musicians in South Africa is extremely high. It is very high. The problem is that infighting and competition, it can be, you know, playing in a coffee shop or something, you know, and guys are fighting about that or getting a gig at the Bat Center or whatever.
Yeah.
But where we've noticed it, the levels are there. And I think that competition, to a certain extent, does help that because the guys rise to a higher level.
Indeed. You know? And look, competition is fine, but animosity and hatred and combat readiness is not helpful to anyone. And there's quite a lot of that. I've heard some terrible...
A lot. You find that some people have actually moved away from the country because of it.
I wanted to ask you about the industry, and clearly you're not involved in the industry, but you work with people that are. Can one make a living in South Africa?
You can.
In the music industry?
You can. I know a lot of artists that do make a good living off it. I know a lot of people that studied for, 10, 12 years in the music industry and are not making a good living out of it. So it's a difficult level to come to terms with for people that are in university studying music. It's a tough one because when they graduate, when they come out, okay, what are we going to do? Where are we going to go? However, with the curriculums of schools increasing the amount of music, you're finding the need for teachers has improved dramatically. So a lot of people...
So you can work as a teacher?
Yes.
Okay.
Because there's a lack of teachers for music. In the schools, a lot of the schools are getting your math teacher, your science teacher, geography teacher, history teachers to teach some elements of music. And it's come to a point now that a lot of the musicians, the really seasoned musicians, are actually getting jobs in schools.
Okay.
And they're doing pretty well.
Like Gareth Gale.
Gareth is amazing.
Great example.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Gareth's a fantastic drummer and a very, very, very highly thought of now educator.
Yes.
Which is super, and I'm sure there are more of those. But I wonder how... You see, to be able to perform regularly live is so important if you're a working musician. And there used to be lots of venues. There used to be an entire circuit. You might recall, maybe it was before your time, but there was a Holiday Inn circuit. There was the Southern Sun circuit. Mm. And bands used to go 3 months here, 3 months there, full contract, all expenses, living in the hotel. It was a life, and they earned relatively well.
Yeah.
And then there were, of course, the smaller venues that did gigs regularly, many of them.
Yeah.
There's not so many anymore.
Not so many anymore, yeah. And, I mean, we are thankful
for...
I think over time, I think a lot of the economics came into play. I think there's a lack of respect for what musicians do to a certain extent. People take them for granted. This is a very... It takes a lot of time and effort and practice to get to the point of where...
Now, you understand that. And the investment in equipment, that's massive. Yeah. It always, you know, I love that analogy where someone's looking for a musician to come and play on New Year's Eve, and they quote whatever they quote. Mm. And, that's very expensive. He said, well, I'll tell you what. You go and get a couple of plumbers to come and work on New Year's Eve. I'll play for a fraction of what they want to charge you. Because, you know, you'll pay for services, but why do people... It's like, well, you're going to get exposure. Mm. You know, we'll give you exposure. We're not going to pay you to play. And it's tragic. Because what does it cost for a musician to set up a basic rig to come and perform, for example, at the Lifestyle Center?
If you're looking at just a one-off musician with a good quality rig, at least 50,000 rand.
Including the instrument and...
Well, it can... Obviously, it goes up much more. It depends what you're buying. If you're looking at, like, a standard good quality. And, you know, some of the musicians out here that I've seen are playing with rigs that are about 150,000 rand.
Well, you see. You know. And a set of strings now is going to cost you... Yeah. Good set of strings is expensive.
Yeah, good set of strings, 280, 300 rand plus, going up to 600.
For a set of strings. And you can go through a set of strings literally in one gig.
Oh, no, we've had artists like... I'm sure you know James Freedom. James used to be a... very good customer of ours. He's been every week buying a set of strings worth 500, 600 rand.
And, you know, people say, that's ridiculous. There's nothing wrong. They aren't broken. They don't have to be broken to be dead. You know, strings, depending on how you play them and the conditions.
Yeah,
it is a fascinating, and not many people understand. So you'll have musicians that do it because they absolutely adore performing.
Yeah.
And I think therein lies the magic, because a live performance is, it's different every time. And there's a connection being forged, or you're attempting to create a connection between the audience and the performer, and it's a magical thing, or it can be. Equally so, it can be an absolutely awful thing if that isn't working properly. And you know how courageous it is for someone to go out on a stage or in a public place, put their heart and soul on the line, only to be either ignored or you know, maybe dissed in the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
I think musicians are tremendously brave in that sense. I'm sure you agree with that. Now, another thing that you do, you supply public address equipment.
Yes.
And I've noticed that you and your organization are particularly, you know, in terms of working with the community, I've heard numerous folks saying, you know, how kind you've been
to supply
them with equipment at a nominal fee, or in many cases, you know, just use it, you know, with my blessing and my love. And I think that's awesome. And that's,
Thank you,
hats off to you, because you are very much part of the community that supports you, and it's a two-way street.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
What are some of the challenges that you face?
People finding us.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that. Where are you?
Well, we've moved now. So a lot of people are going to the wrong place. So we're now at 7 Moffat Drive, which is in the car dealership district. Funny you should mention vehicles in the beginning of the segment. But we're right in the Exotic Kitchens building. It's number 7 Moffat Drive. It's clearly on the building.
But you know what? Yeah. You are in a very easily accessible spot. Mm-hmm. And there's parking. You can go in around the back of the building. There's parking. Yeah. There's even a lift up to, because you're on the first floor. So you don't have to even walk up the stairs.
Yeah.
But, you know, people tend to drive at kind of street level and look at street level. Don't look up. So look up next time. And that's where. And you're open 7 days a week.
We're open 7 days a week now, yes. Sundays, a little bit short on the hours. So from 10 to 2. But every other day, it's 9 to 5.
And what are your main sellers?
Guitars and keyboards and strings. Those are the three primary products we sell. Everything else we do sell, but it's obviously at a smaller scale.
I love the guitars that you carry. You carry the Washburn range, and there's some extraordinary instruments. They make from really super premier top of the range to the intro. But even the intro level Washburns tend to be very, very good.
Yes. But Washburn tends to not make like a very entry level. On those, we carry other brands as well. Uh-huh. You know? And we carry a lot of Fenders, you know, the Squire brand, part of Fender and so on.
I wanted to ask you about the Squire, because initially when Squire came out as a very almost white label type Fender product, it was very inferior, very.
Very, and it got worse at some stage, especially, I think it was just after COVID. When people were looking for cheap products and, you know, something they could start doing as a hobby, a lot of people were buying them and they were really bad, but they've improved dramatically. I mean, they are unbelievable now.
Because now, I see in international magazines, that a lot of guys are playing Squire.
Yeah.
And you think, why? It's kind of but that's the thing. A lot of the brands that you expect people to be playing, because they are the Rolls-Royce, the Gibsons, the Fenders, apparently the brand is not necessarily delivering the quality, and now it's very much a question of the individual instrument,
exactly,
how it's set up, and you can find an extremely good example, but that must also pose a certain difficulty, because one would imagine that you've got three guitars all exactly the same, they would be identical, but they're not.
They're not completely different. I think we've had that experience, Dave. Do you remember that guitar you bought a while back? There were two of the exact same model that came out at exactly the same time from the same factory, shipped in at the same time, and they were totally different.
You know, that's what I think makes it so special.
Yeah.
Because when you find an instrument that speaks to you, it's a bit like the Harry Potter wand. It chooses you.
Yeah.
You cannot walk out of the store without an instrument. It's like leaving behind your brother. So the Tredelius brand and the Musicians Gear Zone store in Bolito is where you will find the instrument that you're looking for. And if they don't have it in store, you'll source something that may be more difficult to find. You know, you might get the odd person coming in to find a concertina or something.
Will exactly. you find that? We will, definitely.
You see, this is the thing. You have a friend in the industry in Donovan Rash and his family. It is a family business. I love that. The girls work behind the counter from time to time, and your wife is there. It's a little family. You've got a couple of good staff members. And never let you down. And that's, I think, so important for a working musician when you're in trouble, to know that you can pop along and there's a bit of help at hand. It's not just that hard-edged business. So, Donovan, thanks so much for joining me on the
Dave
Charles
Show.
I'll be popping in shortly. I need some strings.
Wonderful.
And this will be up as a podcast, so if you've missed the conversation and you'd like to hear it, you're most welcome to pick it up on the Dave Charles Show on 88 FM, coming to you live from the center of Bolito.